Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Elevate your mind, get yourself together. Elevate your mind, make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind, get yourself together. Elevate your mind, make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind, get yourself together. Elevate your mind, make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind, get yourself together. Elevate your mind. Make yourself feel better.
To the very special person listening to this broadcast, welcome to another episode of Taboo Talk featuring your very own pastor, me, Lady Charmaine Day. Today's show is guaranteed to be full of sensitive, intimate, natural conversations rarely talked about in the Christian community. So now, get ready for your very own spiritual consultation. Are you ready? Great, let's begin. How have you been doing? I know you have been doing wonderful, incredible, special, marvelous, and excellent. Because, you know, that's how people would describe you. You are so very, very loving, nurturing, giving, and uplifting and inspiring to those in your home, your community, and on your job. And you're just beautiful. So let me give you a round of applause. Thank you for doing the things that you do. You are truly, truly appreciated. Keep on doing them because without you, this world wouldn't be a nice place. And so as a result of you doing you, I'm going to make sure that you have all the nurturing that you need spiritually taken care of by Taboo Talk. With that in mind, you know we are entering into a new season, the fall. And also holidays are coming up, and often people experience different emotions and shifts mentally. You may feel a little depressed or a sense of panic or anxiety because of gift-giving or socialization. So we're going to talk today about anxiety and what you can do to stay healthy mentally during the fall and winter months. And to help me get this message across to you, I brought in a subject matter expert on this subject. Katie Lynn from the National Alliance on Mental Illness is going to talk to you today about it. Katie Lynn is the Youth and Program Coordinator at the National Alliance on Mental Illness of New York City Metro. She coordinates and supervises many of the peer programs at NAMI, including the Inner Voice Program and 6 Weeks to Wellness. She also leads a monthly meeting that provides guidance, support, and resources to the youth advocates working in the 9 family resource centers throughout New York City. In the fall, Katie is hoping to start a youth support group. She's a recent graduate of Hunter College, School of Social Work, where she received her Master's of Social Work with a focus on community organizing and mental health. So we are so blessed and fortunate to have Katie Lynn here. Katie, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, girl. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming on Taboo Talk and talking to us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's really my pleasure.
Thank you. Katie, so let's get right into this hotbed topic of anxiety. What is anxiety in terms of what it is, what does it mean? A lot of people use the term, but they don't really know what that means.
Well, I think first of all, it means a lot of different things.
Right.
To the mental health community, anxiety is actually a class or a category of disorders.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, such as obsessive compulsive disorder, a series of phobias, like you'd be scared of, severely scared of spiders, panic disorder, which is what I have, mm-hmm. post-traumatic stress disorder, and generalized anxiety disorder. But to those who don't have a disorder version or a disordered version of anxiety, anxiety is just the everyday feelings of worry, uncertainty, and unease about the future. In my opinion, everyone experiences some form of anxiety, but it is only when it disrupts your everyday functioning does it become a disorder.
And is it true that a lot of people experience season anxiety and socialization anxiety around the holidays?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the statistics are, but it is definitely a real thing. Seasonal affective disorder is a real disorder. In the mental health community, seasonal affective disorder is categorized as a mood disorder in which people who have normal mental health throughout most of the year experience depressive symptoms in the winter or summer, spring or autumn, year after year. So probably everyone experiences some sort of version of this. You know, it starts getting darker outside, it's getting colder, people are more confined to their house and the heat. But only, once again, like anxiety, only when it severely affects your daily functioning, like prevents you from going to work, is it a serious problem that I recommend going to the doctor about. But for those who have, you know, a minor version of it, I find several things very helpful, you know, to combat the sort of funk that you get into when the seasons change. And some of those things could be something like in your house. I find it to be helpful to have clear curtains instead of dark, thick curtains.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I maximize the light. Light and sun. Sun has vitamin D, and it, you know, your skin really craves that, and it actually affects your mood the more vitamin D you have. So it's important for us to have light in our homes, to get sun, obviously using sunscreen, things like eating well, exercising, avoid hibernating as much as possible. And one of the coolest things that I do is I embrace the seasons. Even if I get funky as it gets dark and I start to get the blues, I find it important to say, listen, wintertime's going to gonna come. That means I get to watch more movies. I get to cuddle up with my partner. You know, I try to embrace what the winter will bring me.
That's excellent, and that's great ideas. And I have a question for you. You mentioned earlier that you also deal with anxiety personally.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to us a little bit about your personal experience and what's that like living through?
Well, I actually started to have panic attacks my freshman year of college, which was a little over 10 or 11 years ago. And these attacks, which remained untreated for a big part of my 20s, it wasn't until, I'd say, about 4 or 5 years ago that I started getting treatment for it, led me to develop agoraphobia, which is a fear of leaving your house, a fear of everyday things outside of your house. Social phobia, I developed a version of that. I was incredibly uncomfortable around crowds, which is ironic because I'm from North Carolina and I moved to, you know, the busiest city in the world with the most people. And then that also led to depression. You know, soon I became paralyzed by fear. I mean, it was nothing but fear. Every day I would fear everyday things, normal things, going to the dentist, you know, going out with friends, going to see a movie. And really, my at the core of that fear was a fear of having more panic attacks. And it just became a very, very vicious cycle of anxiety.
So clearly now you have entered into a road of recovery because you are so successful in terms of outreaching to people and socializing. How did you get to this place of comfort, and what hope is there for people who suffer from anxiety or experience anxiety during the fall and winter seasons that they could learn from you?
Oh, well, thank you very much. Those are very sweet words, and I do consider myself to be in a form of recovery. At one point in my life, I was plagued. I like to use the word plagued because it gives people a picture that of me covered with something, something that prevented me from being and feeling normal, and that's what I was. I was plagued with anxiety. But I think it was through a series of things. The first thing I did was I started talking to everyone and anyone about what I was going through. And that way it normalized the experience. And not only did it normalize it, but I found out that so many of my family and friends also were silently suffering with anxiety. And so it was a really, it was a very beautiful experience in some strange way to connect with others that way. I also disclosed at work and connected at NAMI with some of the peers and consumers in the who were members, and they said, "Wow, you too?" And it was a really moving experience to disclose and to embrace anxiety in some strange way. Then the next step was really going to therapy. First going to therapy to see if I could do, I could solve my problems without medication, but then I soon learned that medication would help me in that process of solving some of my underlying issues. So really it's been a couple of things. It's been medication, it's been therapy, it's been talking to others, and then certain coping skills such as exercise, eating well, breathing, having a routine. And to anyone who experiences this, I want to say that it is such an incredible, at least for me, it's been an incredible gift that has allowed me to advocate for myself, find my voice, relate to others. I mean, it has really, anxiety has given me more gifts than if I hadn't had an experience with it. So.
I like you saying that it's a gift, and also that you grew from it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You grew from it. Now, one thing that you mentioned was advocating.
Mm-hmm.
How can people advocate for themselves? How did you get to that place of advocacy?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a really good question, because it certainly didn't come easily, and it's a series of trials and errors. But also, I have to mention that I'm very lucky to be surrounded with such positive and strong advocates in the mental health world through NAMI. And some of the people I've coordinated with one of my programs in Her Own Voice have taught me so much about how to advocate on behalf of themselves. But just to kind of give you a little context, at NAMI, we believe that there are three types of advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
There is self-advocacy, where you advocate on behalf of yourself or your loved one. There's peer advocacy, and that's where you learn to advocate for someone else who may be experiencing something else or something similar to what you went through. And then there's systemic advocacy, and that's where you try to change the policies, the systems, laws. You go up to Albany and you talk to your local legislators and you try to pass a bill in order to make the mental health system better. That's systemic advocacy. But for right now, we're focusing on kind of personal advocacy, the self-advocacy, taking care of ourselves, especially during the holidays and with the seasons changing. And the first thing I recommend to maintain our wellness, I think it's really important to understand our rights and benefits. A lot of our benefits and a lot of our rights are really hidden from us. And I think it's crucial for us to know what we are entitled to, because sometimes when we're so plagued by our stress and anxiety or we're having a hard time with family, a lot of people cannot take what we have to say as the truth. And some people want to prevent us from doing certain things. I'm sorry for being so vague, but I think it's crucial that, for example, if my anxiety got so bad and I had to be hospitalized, it's important that either I have it or one of my loved ones have my rights and knowledge of my benefits, because I don't want to leave the hospital and then have to answer to thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of debt because we didn't interpret my benefits correctly.
Mm.
So I think that's really key. I think it's always I think it's always good to not only know your rights and your benefits, but it's good to have them in writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have them written down in one place so that you can bring them along when you meet with medical professionals or any sort of professionals. I also think it's important to practice being assertive and not aggressive. This is really valuable and something that I'm still working on, and that is learning how to get what you want and get what you need without being aggressive.
What's the difference to you? What to you is assertive and what to you is aggressive, and what's the difference?
Right. I think that's a very good question, and sometimes I don't know the difference. Sometimes I mess up the difference, to be completely honest.
Dude, that's why I was like, let's
right.
be clear.
I think aggressive is about an attack.
Right.
When you're trying to get what you want, and you'll draw blood to get what you want or need,
mm-hmm.
that would be considered aggressive. But assertive is being able to, you know, lean back with a smile on your face, even if you've been wronged, and say, hi, you know, I don't feel like I've been treated very well, and I really need this right now. This is what I need, and I need to be taken very seriously. And I appreciate, and it's also being able to tell the person who may not be on your side that you understand that they have a role to play as well.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, you are prioritizing yourself. You know, it's a tone. It's a manner. And to be fair, it's really hard to be that composed when it is so personal.
Right.
But I think one of the most valuable things in terms of advocacy is learning how to be assertive and not aggressive.
That's excellent.
And the final thing in terms of advocacy, and it's not the final thing, there's so many other things to learn, but, you know, one of the things that I know that you talk about on your program and to your listeners is that it's so crucial for anyone, regardless if they have a disorder, psychological disorder, or a physical disorder, or any sort of thing, even if they are the healthiest person alive, it's important to have a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always say it takes a village. Well, it takes a village not to just raise a kid. It takes a village to maintain well-being, to be healthy.
It does. It does.
And I think that, you know, for you, I know your spiritual life is really important. That's one
mm-hmm.
aspect. Then you have your family, and then you have, you know, your significant others and friends and, you know, acquaintances and doctors and lawyers. You know, it really does take a village, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So if you embrace your village, so to speak, you say, listen, I am going to build a team. I don't think there's anything to be ashamed about when you need to lean heavily on one member of your team.
I love that, and thank you for reinforcing something that I do say often on Taboo Talk. It's nice to have someone else here that's listening to Taboo Talk come and say to us the same thing. Hello, I hope you're listening. Now, let me just say this in wrapping up. What, as the program coordinator for NAMI New York City Metro, from your unique perspective, what NAMI programs can people utilize to help them in general?
Well,
deal with anxiety, deal with seasonal affect, deal with mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
What programs would you suggest to them?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many great programs. And I want to take a side note and say you have been, Lady Charmaine Day, you have been such an amazing advocate on so many levels. And I do want to
thank you
tremendously from the bottom of NAMI's heart and my heart. I appreciate you really promoting our programs and services, because I do find them to be amazing, and I say that from an honest place. And they're free, so it's kind of like, hello, you've got
a
free thing.
They are a blessing. And the people, let me just say, you know, people, I know that you could pick up between me and Katie that there's a special connection. Katie is the program coordinator for Inner Own Voice, and I'm an Inner Own Voice presenter. And so she is my my person I go to all the time. She helps me. She's nurturing. And she goes above and beyond her role as coordinator. She also cares. And that's just how NAMI is. They go the extra mile. So, I mean, seriously, take heed to the programs she's about to tell you because you would be helped. I know I'm helped.
Oh, thank you. Thank you again. Mm-hmm. I know we're kind of cheating by already having this connection. But
yeah.
I do want to say there's a couple of programs that in particular I think would be fantastic. There's NAMI Connections. NAMI Connections meets every Wednesday at our office from 6 to 7:30. And that's just an open network of people coming together and talking about their issues. There is no judgment. It is a safe space. So that's one group for peers. There's also peer-to-peer, which is a 10-week education course that teaches people how to embrace and challenge themselves with challenge those who are living with a mental health issue. There's also these great social support groups on the weekends, such as movie club, pet therapy, a comedy group. And those are really good, especially during the winter and fall seasons when people start to hibernate. It's a really good way to get people out on the weekends, which is my most difficult and challenging time because I tend to not leave my bed.
Right.
So that's a really good way to connect with others and to get out of the house. There's also creative workshops like poetry group, creative writing classes, et cetera. But we're talking about peers here, but on the flip side, we also have tons of support for family members. And anyone who's experienced a mental health issue knows that not only are we often the consumer, so to speak, but we're also family members. We got it from somewhere. So we do have family groups to help family members connect with other family members. So I mean it when I say it is like a family. You come here and you're embraced and you can connect with people with similar experiences. So I did want to mention you had brought up this really cool program that we participate in and you're a state trainer in, or state trainer for. It's called In Our Own Voice, and it's a free public education program. It's developed by NAMI, in which two trained consumer, and by consumer we mean anyone living with a mental health issue, where two trained consumer speakers share compelling personal stories about living with mental illness and achieving recovery. So those are some of the cool programs that I run and support. And hopefully some of your listeners will take advantage of these free, amazing resources.
I know they will. And where are you located?
We are located right by Penn Station, 505 8th Avenue, Suite 1103. And that's in between 35th and 36th Street. Once again, 505 8th Avenue.
Okay. And what is the website for NAMI?
Okay.
The National Alliance for Mental Illness?
Mm-hmm. The website is www.namiynycmetro.org. That's NAMI New York City Metro.org. And our helpline number is 212-684-3264.
Now, if someone wants to get in contact with you to follow up with some of the information that you shared today, do you have an email where they can reach you at?
Oh, absolutely. You're more than welcome to contact me via phone or email. The phone number is 212-684-3365, and the email is very simple. It's the first letter of my name, Katie, so it's K, and then my last name, which is linn@namiynyc.org. That's namiynyc.org.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for this fabulous, fabulous show and telling us all this great information.
Thank you very much. And I wanted to say I listened to your September 11th show, and I thought it was very beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And I wanted to say to you, thank you for all the hard work you do. And you mentioned In Our Own Voice,
mm-hmm.
The program.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be open to having two of your presenters come on and do a show in the upcoming weeks on In Our Own Voice so people can really understand and experience the richness of this program?
I would absolutely love for your listeners to get an opportunity to see and hear the program in action. Absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. So we will have that coming. You heard it from Katie's own mouth that we will have this, and I look
breaking
on
news.
Board. Thank you. So, Katie, I just wanted to say thank you so much again for coming on the show. You gave some excellent information. And would you be open to coming back yourself? I mean, as you know, we have so many more questions for you. We're running out of time, and I want to cover more ground with you. So would you be open to coming back and sharing more with the listeners of Taboo Talk at a future date?
Absolutely anything for you.
Thank you so much, Katie.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Well, listener of Taboo Talk, you are very, very special. And as you see, Katie Lynn thinks so too. That's why she came on today to give to you the information that you received. You are deserving of nothing less than that, receiving information that can help you, uplift you, and guide you to a new reality. And dealing with anxiety, dealing with seasonal affect, dealing with depression, dealing with any issue that you have mentally is important. And as you can see from Katie's success story, there is recovery, there is hope, there are people available to help you through the National Alliance of Mental Illness. And please, I recommend them so highly. I go there myself for help. And NAMI New York City Metro is my home affiliate, but there are affiliates throughout the world. And so you can go to NAMI New York City Metro's website to find out more information. And so let me tell you, you deserve nothing less than what God has promised you. And he promised you a wonderful, peaceful, happy, joyful, prosperous, abundant life. Continue seeking God's face in all that you do, and a wonderful life will occur for you. And like Katie said, that includes self-advocacy. This episode of Taboo Talk featuring me, Lady Charmaine Day, and guest star Katie Lynn from NAMI New York City Metro was brought to you to help transform your mind, body, and spirit utilizing the principles of Jesus Christ. For more information on Katie Lynn, go to www.NAMINewYorkCityMetro.org. And you can find out more information about the program she coordinates, In Our Own Voice, as well as the other programs that she mentioned. And for more information on me, Lady Charmaine Day, go to www.LadyCharmaineDay.com. That's LadyCharmaineDay.com. There you can read my monthly blog, find out more about the activities I'm involved in, and join my Facebook fan page. Also, if I'm your source for spiritual guidance, please sow seeds into this good ground by making your donation and tithes on the website. This ministry thanks you for your continued contributions, donations, and for tuning in each and every week. You know, I appreciate and pray for you all the time. I pray for you to have more joy, peace, love, and good health and prosperity in your life. And I pray that you continue to tune in because you are appreciated. So I do this because you are special. Remember at all times, you are special and deserve nothing but the best. Take care and stay blessed. Goodbye.
Elevate your mind. Get yourself together. Elevate your mind. Make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind. Get yourself together. Elevate your mind. Make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind. Get yourself together. Elevate your mind. Make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind. Get yourself together. Elevate your mind. Make yourself feel better.
My name is Susan L. Taylor, Editor-in-Chief Emeritus of Essence Magazine. My sadness and depression grew out of giving myself to my career before I would give myself to myself. And then I am out there speaking in front of thousands of people with a smile pasted on my face, but dying on the inside. Hiding sadness makes you more and more sad because it closes you off. Giving voice to what you're feeling is part of the healing. We're dying, and the most revolutionary and healing thing that black people can do right now is to love one another.
This is Terry Williams, co-founder of the Stay Strong Foundation. Mental illness is devastating our community, and it's up to us to stop it. It's time for us to wake up, stand up, and speak up. And what I know is, together, we can do this. Search online for stories that heal. We must share ourselves. Healing starts with us. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.